You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. With us today are Natalia Munoz, host of Vaya con Munoz on WHMP, and Kristen Palpini, editor of The Valley Advocate. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hello.
The appointed members of the Massachusetts Cannabis Advisory Board have been picked. It will make recommendations to the yet-to-be-appointed Cannabis Control Commission on how to regulate legal marijuana. Most of the appointees come from communities that voted in favor of legalization, and three of the picks hail from Western Mass. One of them, Tessa Murphy Romboletti of Holyoke, has some goals in mind when it comes to money from the marijuana industry.
Really making it as easy as possible for us to share some of the same economic benefits that other parts of the state are able to access.
So, Natalia, are you happy with these three picks for Western Mass?
Yes, I am. Two are from Springfield and then, of course, I from Holyoke, because they are from cities that supported the marijuana bill. It wouldn't work very well to have a majority of people be on this panel who were against marijuana, because who knows what they would do. They would say, never mind, we're not doing marijuana, we're not selling it, we're going to overtax it. I think it was a wise decision.
Well, Kristen, Governor Baker, who was also against the marijuana ballot question, appointed a police chief from Walpole, who was also a noted opponent to legalization. Does this selection by Baker send a bit of a message?
I think it sends a message of balance. You know, if it was all pro-pot people, that would be, you know, not as good. You wouldn't get all the sides of the story and the situation.
Natalia?
I agree with Kristen. You want balance. You want balance. It's just exactly as she said. You don't want everybody being from the left or from the right or pro or con. You want to be able to have debates, healthy debates.
This week, local, state, and federal law enforcement conducted a large-scale drug bust on four locations in Springfield, including one authorities allege was a factory for processing heroin. 10 men were arrested, and enough raw heroin to make at least 450,000 bags was seized. Here's Hamden District Attorney Anthony Galluni on Tuesday.
This was the preeminent drug distribution organization in the region. As you can tell from one snapshot, which was yesterday, with 6+ kilos of heroin, they were distributing their wares to other distributors, other drug traffickers, other drug dealers.
Natalia, is knocking out some of those allegedly at the top of the heroin food chain going to make a big difference in getting the drug off the streets of Western Mass?
Yes, and kudos to the police, to law enforcement for getting these guys. These are bad hombres. This pushing heroin is bad for everybody except for the sellers.
Kristen, as the opioid crisis continues, are large-scale busts like this going to make a difference?
You know, I don't know. I would like to think that they will, but I feel like, you know, every year or so we hear about a couple of these really huge busts, but the problem doesn't go away. And I feel like just somebody else just comes up and does the work. It's great to get, you know, people who are violent and pushing drugs off the street, but is it just somebody else is going to come up?
Natalia?
I think it's the opioid addiction is a complicated problem. It's going to take a lot of different organizations and ideas to address it. I think topping the list is more economic opportunities for people, because when you look at the demographics of who suffers the most from these addictions, it's usually people who are struggling economically.
Moving along, all electronic tolling has been in place on the Mass Turnpike since October, and one concern before the new system was unveiled was how often and for what purpose authorities would use new technology to track motorists. According to Mass Live, law enforcement has tried to track vehicles 7 times so far, mostly to find suspects wanted for violent crimes. Kristen, does this so far seem like a reasonable use of the so-called hot list system?
It does, but that's beside the point. My real concern here is that the list exists. You know, the state has drafted or passed some legislation that says, you know, it can only be used in emergencies and these are the very specific instances. But, you know, it just takes one time for it not to be used that way, for it to be used a different way, and for somebody to say, well, let the courts challenge me on this. It's too late. It's done.
Well, it's imperfect, but I actually think this is really good for law enforcement, because this is yet another way to find somebody who, and this would only be for emergencies, as you pointed out, Kristen, and violent criminals, children who are abducted, in very specific circumstances. And I think that law enforcement should have all the tools it needs to get to these to get to the perpetrators. Then let the judicial system sort out whether there was overreach on the part of the law enforcement officials.
Natalia, state officials say regulations are in place for use of the system, but MassLive reports there's no training documents or even written procedures to go along with that. Is that a concern for you?
That's a very big concern, because going back to what Kristen was saying, people can just make up the rules as they go along. There needs to be a law in place so that it's not, however somebody's feeling that particular morning, they get to dive deep into somebody's background because they decided they wanted to look up their license plate.
Right. You can just call it an emergency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let's wrap up with your picks for most underreported local story of the week. Briefly, what is the media missing in our region? Natalia?
It's missing investigating why wasn't there a study for the high-speed rail service between Western Mass and Boston? Whose pockets are being lined by whom?
Kristen, what's the media missing?
Wow, well, that was a really good one. I wish I had picked that. I was actually thinking about how the Democrats are going to be supporting pro-life candidates now. We've got Richard Neal saying, hey, bring them in. We need them. We don't need them. As somebody who votes Democrat very often, abortion is women's freedom. You get rid of that, you're sending women back. That's not okay.
So, Natalia, what do you think about that approach by Democrats going into 2018?
I think that throwing women's rights under the bus is that cannot be permitted. Our rights as women cannot be thrown under the bus in the name of, well, we have a Democratic candidate, except that he wants to take your rights away. No, that'd be like we have a Democratic candidate, but he doesn't believe in the Civil Rights Act. That wouldn't be acceptable. Why is it acceptable to get into our rights?
Natalia Munoz, host of Vaya Con Munoz on WHMP, and Kristen Palpini of the Valley Advocate, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thanks to our loyal listeners for joining us for the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us anytime, wherever you get your podcasts, or by going to nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.